Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. Now here is your host, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Empire Title, Bill McAfee, your best of the best, Colorado Springs Gold.
Are we
going to
do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Well, welcome radio and podcast listeners. I am Jay. If you've never heard my voice, I am your friend. And we are in the middle of the summer having amazing conversations about home and mortgage and bringing it out in the open to talk about it. My number is 719-330-1457. If you've been tuning in this month, I've already done a couple amazing conversations about home ownership. Now, of course, we took a break for the Independence Day radio show of A Lifetime America 250, but you're going to have to get that in the recorded podcast. Now, all of these conversations, whether it's my patriotism, whether it is mortgage, originates from my background. I've served in the military, Army, helicopter pilot with an air crew with Flight for Life. Patriotism bleeds through my veins, but home ownership comes to me from experience of owning a home myself, owning a portfolio of second and short-term and long-term and mid-term investment properties, but also as a licensed loan originator. I'm one of the team members in a team member-owned company, Churchill Mortgage. Ken Smith, my very good friend and licensed team member, we are the only brick and mortar here in Colorado. We have over 400 team members in 50 states, you know, with an asterisk minus New York State. That's a separate radio show. But I would love to earn your business for your next purchase or refinance transaction. Now, it is a crazy market right now in real estate and financing. Consumer sentiment is uneasy at best with everything that's gone on in the political landscape as of the last 36 months, but more specifically, things that have gone on in Iran. We have an administration that refuses to sweep a anti-American regime and country and ideology under the rug, and that affects real estate and mortgage dramatically. But I always come down to the phrase that I learned from Warren Buffett, the most infamous investor: when others are fearful, you should be greedy. Or the opposite applies as well. When others are greedy, be cautious and fearful. Right now, real estate prices are amazing. Houses are very affordable. Sellers are giving you proceeds to come in and buy their house. But that's because the consumer sentiment is low, inflation is still stubbornly high, and so are interest rates. But today, I want to talk part two of a very important series that I introduced at the end of June, and that's a home ownership economy. Bam! So, with the drum roll, Matt, we are talking today about home ownership economy, part two. Who makes the engine purr? The revving engines on that one. That was an engine that purred. And I've got a great friend and partner that's coming in today, Mark Salas. But this is what we're going to cover today. In conversation of late June, I talked about home ownership economy and how the bottom line matters, where there are four components of the gross domestic product. And when you look at the four components, public and private consumption, investments from business, government expenditures, and net exports, you will find that it's not a equal quadrant breakdown. When you look at the actual components of all those different GDP, you have net exports, which used to be the largest and most powerful component in the United States GDP, gross domestic product. The net exports are only 4%, and you've got government expenditures is 18%. Now, business investment and private business, like Apple, Ford, Procter & Gamble, that's 18% of the economy. But folks, For the last three decades, it's been 70% consumer spending. And if you take the 70% of consumer spending and focus on that, more than 24% or a quarter of all the domestic spending in the country on an annual basis is for housing, period. There's only 14% for healthcare, 12% for food, 10% for transportation, 7% for education, 7% for recreation, and then a catch-all of like 300 categories. That's the last 25%. So, in layman's terms, if you take consumer spending, which is 70%, and you take 24% of all that consumer spending in housing, that is 18% of our entire economy. Folks, housing equals all of the government expenditures in the entire country. It equals all of the expenditures and production of all business investments. So it is a huge, the largest individual component contributing to our economy. And I explained that for 50 minutes and all the details of that. Now today, I'm going to focus about who makes the engine purr and how does it run. So I'm going to talk in three very simple components of the entities that make the system, the government and private mechanisms that make this housing production and system capable. Then we talk about capitalism or the productive implementation by the private sector of this entire component, folks, of which there's more than 4.3 million businesses in the United States that directly contribute to housing and its life cycle. And then finally, we're going to talk about capable citizenship. So you can have good government structure, good implementation with capitalism, but then you have to have a capable citizenship. And that's the professionals guiding you through that system and also the ready, prepared, and willing citizens that are consuming that system like Miss Pac-Man. Again, man, I appreciate you. But it's going to be a fun conversation. I'm going to have Mark Salas in the studio here. But first, I'm going to go through the structure that makes all of this possible. In United States, as early as 1700, before we were actually a country, there was private colony banks and the rudimentary onset and development of the Bank of North America. It wasn't even the Bank of the Colonies. It wasn't even the Bank of the United States. It was the Bank of North America. That's the origination of our country, to where when they made the Declaration of Independence in 1776, there were 40% of the settlers that went immediately to home ownership. So we're going to unwrap this beautiful package called Housing in America right after these important messages. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound up. Watch on bandit run.
Dark and Friday evening, mama doesn't know she's leaving. Did you hear the screamer slamming, rubber squealing, gears are jamming? Local country station just a blaring on the radio. Pick him up at 7 and they're heading to the rodeo. Mama's on the front.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11. Here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 a.m. We're back with your home mortgage best friend, Jay Garvin.
This segment brought to you by Texas Roadhouse. Legendary food, legendary service. Located on 8th Street next to Walmart.
Hey, where's the beef?
Hey, going down till the sun comes up. They ain't giving in till they get enough. Go around the world in a pickup truck.
Well, thanks for sticking with me. I'm Jay. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show, Home and Mortgage Talk, where I'm continuing the conversation here in July of 2026 about homeownership economy in America, part two. Who makes the engine purr? And since the onset of our founding fathers and the original structure of our country from the governments of the people, by the people, for the people. They had everything from governance to private land ownership to the concept of commerce, municipals, and even housing in the construct of America being able to protect and pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So, as far as the housing and real estate market occurs, please understand this is so essential to share with you. Probably one of the most important things that I'm going to share is that all things are not created equal. And that is for sure, folks. I've got so many papers here in front of me, but the most important one is this. In the United States, our housing system is extremely unique. Quote unquote, from several articles that I've read, and I've done this over and over throughout the years, done many shows on this, no other nation has a mortgage system quite like United States. And the fuel in this engine that purrs is not the real estate that we build, because a lot of companies in a lot of countries build it. It is the fuel that goes inside it, the financing. If a human race does not have financing to buy a house, a car, or a widget, it doesn't get produced because it can't be purchased. While many countries facilitate home ownership, United States is uniquely characterized in its massive resilience to securitization, the long-term fixed-rate mortgage, and the non-recourse for debt. Now, I can't get into the non-recourse with debt, with the foreclosure and bankruptcies and all of that. I'm not going to get into how every American home is filed in a county clerk. That doesn't exist in Honduras. I'm not going to get into the vast labyrinth of private insurance companies that allow you to fix it and maintain it at an affordable price. But I am going to talk about things like the rare 30-year fixed mortgage. I am going to talk about the government-sponsored entities, GSEs. That's huge. And then also the tax code. I mean, we are one of the only countries in the world that for investment properties you can do depreciation. Done a radio show podcast on it. You can write off the interest for the house and home mortgage, unmatched in any country in the world. But this started not yesterday, back in the 1700s. State banks came into play in the 1800s, and in the 1800s, we were like most of the rest of the world. 5 and 10 year commercial loans still in place today in Korea, large down payments of 50% or more, and then short-term loans are balloons. You borrow $100,000, you get 5 years at a fixed rate, but then at 5 years, the remaining balance is due, like they have in Korea. So the private sector in the 1800s and 1900s then continued to progress it. And the huge breakthrough during the Great Depression with FDR was something called Home Owners Loan Corporation, HOLC, H-O-L-C. And it basically was created for a strategic refinance mechanism during the Great Depression when houses went bust, just like the stock market. Banks knocked on the door. Hello? They said pay the mortgage in full or get out, and people had to get out. So in 1933, Congress created a homeowner's loan corp that would give the first long-term fixed mortgage for homeowners. Now in 1934, less than a year after that, in the National Housing Act, the FHA, the Federal Housing Administration, was created. That's where the FHA loan come from. Then in 1938, Congress created Fannie Mae, and Fannie Mae stands for the Federal National Mortgage Association. The nickname is Fannie Mae, FNMA. Now, in 1944, we had the creation of the VA loan in World War II, where a veteran could have a fully guaranteed loan. Radio show is not about this. I've done entire podcasts about that, but it was created in 1944. In 1968, we then had the Ginnie Mae, the Government National Mortgage Association, created. Then, in 1997, we had Ellie Mae, the Electronic Mortgage Affiliate Organization, created. And then, finally, back in 1972, Freddie Mac, the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, because we know Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Freddie Mac was created in 1970. It was a hybrid of Fannie Mae, created in 1938. And then the last official full government nationwide program created was the Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, officially an FHA mortgage in a subsidiary subsidiary of FHA by Ronald Reagan in Congress in 1989, folks. That was the reverse mortgage. This is not a simple structure. You have more than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 entities that has put up the structure of this home ownership in America 2.0. This is the engine that makes the vehicle curl. I could have a separate radio show about FHA, Fannie Mae, VA loan, Freddie Mac, home equity conversion mortgage, and Ellie Mae. These are just all of the components. And remember this, because as a loan originator, we have a licensing requirement, but these are the professionals that are calling you. And in the next segment, I'm going to talk with Mark Salas about the difference between professionals, predators, and just plain incompetent people. Now, I am going to tell you, obviously, why I'm a professional and not a predator or incompetent, and Mark's going to do the same. But you get the gist that there is a licensing in real estate and mortgage. There's a licensing in tradesmen in the United States. There's a licensing in appraisals. There's a licensing in inspectors. But there's also licensing for CPAs, attorneys, and doctors. The difference is an inspector can get licensed in a weekend, and a neurosurgeon has 12 to 14 years of training. Real estate and mortgage is at the bottom part of that bell curve of licensing. It basically takes you 40 hours in each respective industry with no bachelor's or associate degrees required. If you're going to be an appraiser, you actually have to have a bachelor's degree before you go out and assess the value of the house. And we're going to talk about that. But what I do want to touch on is the second part briefly. First, you have the structure, the government structure, which I explained to you. Then you actually have, to the great frustration of those Democrat socialists out there and the madamis that are wolves in sheep's clothing that are outright communists, you can't have this system that works in the Soviet Union. You cannot have this system that works in China. You cannot have this system that works in Vietnam. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Because the government runs anything, most everything, and there's no private enterprise. There's no doubt at all that the implementation and capitalism in the private structure and the private sector make this happen. You have private real estate companies, mortgage companies, appraisal companies, inspectors, warranties, builders, tradesmen, banks, title companies. All of these are part of the private sector. 4.3 million industries touch your house in its lifetime. Again, this is like an umbrella outline for life. I could do 5 shows just on the private sector and the 4.3 million dollar entities. I mean, folks, the secondary market of mortgage alone is insane. Do you know a percent of all the mortgages in United States end up in government pension and retirement and in your 401ks, your IRAs, your Roth IRAs on Wall Street? These mortgages are held for 30 years fixed. Well, Jay, I'm telling you, I'm from Topeka, Kansas, and I keep my mortgage the whole life. That's correct. Someone has to account for that compounding interest mortgage their whole life. Well, Jay, I'm from Dallas. I don't keep my damn house more than 2 years. They also flip. So I could do 2 separate radio shows just on that. But where I want to focus today in the meat, as I always do, what matters to you? Now call me at 719-330-1457. I would love to help you with your next purchase or mortgage refinance. I encourage you to go to ChurchillColorado.com. Refer your adult child, relative, coworker. Because at Churchill Mortgage, and specifically on my team, we go above and beyond for professionalism and for assistance in the process. Anybody can write a loan, but we make a difference. So call me during the break at 719-330-1457. I'm going to be back after these important words and talk to you about real estate and mortgage professionals in the housing industry. Professionals, predators, are just plain incompetence. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
Going down till the sun comes up. I ain't giving in till they get enough. Go around the world in a pickup truck. I ain't going down till the sun comes up.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back with your home mortgage Jedi, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is sponsored by Best Realty and Mark Salas.
Housekeeping? Housekeeping.
Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am into the third segment of the conversation today about homeownership economy in the United States, part two. Who makes the engine curve? I talked about the half a dozen different entities of the Homeowners Loan Corporation that was created in 1933, the FHA loan that was created in 1934, the VA loan that was created in 1944, Fannie Mae that was created in 1938, Freddie Mac created in 1970, Ellie Mae created in 1997, and the good old Ronald Reagan created the government-sponsored reverse mortgage with the home equity conversion mortgage in 1989. That's the structure. That's the web. That's why we can hum our engine. But the second part of that, I said, was capitalism. Without the private sector and the 4.3 million companies and entities that touch your house during its lifetime is proof why the entire gross domestic product of the entire country, housing at 18% of the entire economy, equals all of the government expenditures of 18%. Folks, it equals all of the business investment of 18%. All of the iPhones, all of the Fords, all of the shampoo from Procter & Gamble, and everything in between barely beats the housing market behemoth. But the component that makes this engine purr and the vehicle run, the hands, the dexterity of what makes the housing industry work. Like Elon Musk said, in building his robots, Optimus Prime, over 90% of all of the actuators, engine, and focus is on the hands. The other 10% is on the entire remainder of Optimus's body. 90% of this industry is driven by the third sector, a capable citizenship. That's broken down in two areas. You have the professionals guiding you, and then you have the citizens that are informed, capable, and interested. See, if someone didn't make $62,000 a year median income like they do in Germany and America, the system couldn't work. Just ask the Hondurans, where the median income, literally, folks, for a Honduran, white-collar banker in Honduras, their median income a year is not $62,000, it's $690. Let that sink in. This is why people migrate to America. But the professionals that guide you through the system break down into three simple categories. Professionals, predators, are just plain incompetent. Now, Mark, this is a lot. How are you doing
today?
Hey,
Jay. How's it going, buddy?
Good. You guys got to be in here with you, man. His brain is just working because I've been doing this 780 times, and he's like, dude, I can do the process, but this whole radio thing is crazy, right?
Jay's got me studying over here.
And here's the deal. I'm going to tell you a story going on in my life right now. I'm helping someone through a mortgage, and there is American Finance Corporation that's trying to help her as well. One is a call center. One is Garvin's Group at Churchill Mortgage. One is trying over. The sales rep failed. Now the sales manager of the call floor is calling her and saying, we want your business. We want your business. We want your business, like a pile driver. And she basically says, well, Jay's checking the competitive nature of my homeowner's insurance. Have you done that? Jay got with a real estate agent and had her visit me and got five comparables in my house before the appraiser. Can you help me with that? And then this is what they had. It was over because professionals go the extra mile, and that's why I took more than what? Matt, it was 2 years between Justin Hermes and Mark being in the studio. Hand lock right there, buddy, because you're the best of the best of the best. And here's the component of real estate from the outside world. Find an individual that's a full-time individual and not just someone that got licensed because a friend babysat your daughter and they asked you to be their agent and you're going to do it three times this year. Not someone that is at an agency, which is a really great position to be in, but someone that owns the agency, which Mark does with Best Realty. And then, just like that infamous family counselor, you go to marriage counselor, master's degree, but not married. How useless are they, right, buddy?
Absolutely.
But Mark has a portfolio of real estate that is bigger than mine, and mine is pretty good. But with you, my friend, I mean, you run into professionalism issues all the time. Talk about when we helped Jesse and what was on the end as a listing agent in our purchase.
Basically non-existent.
Non-existent. I mean, were they from our city?
From our city. They're definitely...
Well, but no, he was from Denver, I thought.
No, he's from our city.
Agent.
Yeah, yeah, he's from our city.
Oh,
yeah.
No way.
Yeah, but I mean, getting someone to even show up to closing now is difficult. It's very rare that we get a lender to show up to a closing, and I'm having many more closings where the other agents don't even show up. It's mind-boggling to me. You know, this is huge for people.
Yeah.
So for someone not to even show up to closing and deal with any issues that may arise when we're closing, that's concerning. How do you feel about that? I know you show up to closings.
The same thing. I mean, you know, I was in leadership and I hadn't been originating since 2011, but helping people do that. And in 2020, I came back by mandate and volume. But now I'm like, I want to end my career helping individuals like Kim, helping individuals like Jesse, helping individuals like Marty and Michelle and all of this. I want to make a difference down at the baseline level. And everybody's jaw drops when I've walked into my last 20 closings.
Yeah, it's not normal. It's not normal for someone to show up to the closing.
It's non-existence. It's non-existent since COVID, and I've only had one closing in 20 closings that both the listing and the buyer agent were there, because they don't even do those components together anymore.
No, it depends. For me, that's how I like to schedule it. That's how I've always known to schedule it.
And sellers can do it remote now, and why go to the closing and stare at someone when you're trying to move or do whatever you're doing?
Yeah, and my opinion with that is the listing agent should still be there to represent the seller on their behalf. If you have questions, if there's any issues, I'm here, let's get this addressed, let's take care of it now.
Well, and I'm going to give a list off the top of my head, because none of this is outlined and contrived or studied. There's services that I do as a professional that are part of my DNA. First of all, we walk people through the understanding of credit, the capacity to earn, and the collateral and money to put down. But more than that, the biggest component of the mortgage right now in the purchase process is not the most important thing. It's insurance right now.
Absolutely. Insurance can make or break a deal. And then location. And now with these fires that we got going on in Beulah, I'm assuming that we're going to start seeing some increases with that in the future. What's your thought on that?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Bad timing. I've got a house that I'm fixing up in Lake George to put on the market. And you better get that house ready to have fire mitigation. But your insurance for a cabin up there isn't $2,000 a year. It's $4,000 a year.
Correct. And it depends on the location in the Springs as well.
Because
we had a client that we were working with, and they said that the field was a fire danger.
Next to them.
Yeah. And it was just field. No trees.
No.
So there are different ways that the insurance company is increasing their costs, good or bad, I don't know, but it's definitely affecting the buyers, for sure. So that's huge. So where you're saying that you're helping someone, they need help. A lot of people don't even know, is this something I should quote out? Is the insurance rate the insurance rate? What's my deductible? What does a deductible mean?
Nobody knows. Everybody assumes just because insurance, and then you have the predators, the insurance companies that just increase their policies because now the standard is people aren't questioning higher policies, so they just up their premium. And I have individuals like my farmer's agent right here on the show, Rick Gillett, USAA, 35 years, had me at $5,400 a year, and I said, enough is enough. And I got with Farmers, the exact same policy was $2,600. And it's unbelievable. And the quality comes in the servicing. And I want to use this example when, in the past, several individuals, especially that gal you and I worked with, as you shared with me, hey, Jay, she was giving me a list of houses, and they were all over the map.
Correct.
And I said, give me the components you're looking for, A, B, C, and D, expand on this. And you said, I'm going to give you a list. And then after you did that, she was all excited and you found a house that you wanted.
Correct. It worked out great because it was like, I say we were shooting with a shotgun and we needed to grab something with a rifle and all hit the target.
An AR-15, baby. Oh, that's a good shot there, Matt. Right across the bow.
So we had parameters, but the parameters were changing, and there were a bunch of different components with that one. And I said, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do. This is what you've told me that you liked. This is what we're going to go after. Once we started going after that, it was a different, it was a very enjoyable experience. Versus seeing so many properties, they were getting confused on what they were looking at. And then after the showings, it was like, I got the feeling like they didn't know what just happened.
Yeah, and that is absolutely huge. And I equate it to a family that needs their daughter's leg reset because It was injured dancing. And instead of going into the doctor and saying, hey, here's the leg, this is what we need, and this is how we want it, and the doctor saying, this is how we will provide you with that surgery, casting, or whatever. It's like the mortgage and real estate industry where people come in with 2-3% intellectual information and just run all over, like you said, a shotgun.
And sometimes it's a tough conversation, right? Because you have these conversations
all
well,
of the time.
And they're very stressful to the buyers, to us. It's a tough conversation. It's like, hey, listen, this is what you told me. However, we keep on going over here and we're going over here. So let's hone this down. Let's focus on what we really want. Let's focus on what you're wanting. And then let's just go after that.
Absolutely. I mean, hear what Mark just said. First thing we want to do is know your goals. The second thing we want to know is the components and the resources you have to make that goal happen. And then finally, Mark, it seems silly, but it's one of the most important, is your timing. Because people call you, and then you find out that they're already looking at houses, and now they want you to show them houses on top of the Redfin agent that's already doing it, or anything like that.
And once again, that's communication. What are we doing?
Yeah.
When are we doing this? How are we doing this? What's your schedule? What's my schedule as well? Let's meet up. Let's make this work. But we need to have a good game plan going in, especially for home buying, because it could be very time-consuming. There's a lot of moving parts, and we have a team. And that was one thing I explained to this one buyer that we were working with a couple years ago, if I remember correctly. I said, hey, listen, this is what happens. We find the home, it's going to be a very fast process.
Yeah.
We're going to draft an offer. You're going to see it. We're going to love it. We're going to move so fast. I get Jay's blessing. I work with Jay because I need to make sure Jay can meet those deadlines. Because that's another thing. I don't want to back Jay up against a wall. After that, we submit the offer. I call the agent, and guess what? Jay follows up behind me. And why does Jay do that? Because he's part of the team. We need that seller and that listing agent to know that, hey, listen, this is why you should work with us. This is why you should accept our offer, because we got a team. We got people that are going to back us up all the way from the buyer, agent, lender.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I said at the beginning, the components of you being a respected real estate agent, people know the name Mark Salas, you actually have your own agency, so when it comes time to do negotiations, you don't have to go down the hall to a boss. And then number three, you have the experience. And with that, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you, my friend?
Give me a call directly on my cell phone. That's 719-201-9571.
One more time?
719-201-9571.
So don't go anywhere, folks. That was just the most action-packed segment right there. Stick around. I'm going to finish up the conversation, the final segment on Homeownership Economy Part 2. Who makes the engine purr? You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
If you make sure you're connected, the writing's on the wall. But if your mind's neglected, stumble, you might fall. Stumble, you might fall.
Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back. Here's Jay Garvin.
We want to pump you up.
You ain't gotta worry, it's an open invitation. You ain't gotta worry, it's an open invitation.
Well, thanks for sticking with me, my friends. I'm Jay Garvin. I'm finishing up the conversation about home ownership economy here in the United States, Part 2. Who and how do we make the engine purr? And I went through all the government entities. Folks, there's no other countries in the world, literally, that have the same system as we do in America for housing. We have a housing-driven economy. Housing in itself produces over 18% of the entire gross domestic product in United States, like nine times that of our net exports, equal to all the government expenditures, equal to all of business expenditures and investment. And here's some examples. Germany, and I'm only going to talk about places that I've lived, like with a house, with the government housing or a space provided because I was on a mission. And that's Germany, Kuwait, and Honduras. Now, I've been to a lot of other countries like Canada, Israel, 36 of them. I'm not going to go through them all. But I lived in Germany for 3 years in the military, and I love it. But it's socialistic. It's not capitalistic. And what happens with capitalism is supply and demand is the scale that business and consumption is weighed on. More supply of something, more affordable. Lower supply, less affordable. In Germany, in a socialistic society, talk about having a capable citizenship. It's not as easy to move from the state of München to the state of Hessen. If you're a school teacher, you're licensed in Hessen, you're expected to stay there. Physical therapy, you're expected to stay there. Mortgage, banker, broker, expected to stay there. In United States, you can go to any other state, get licensed, streamline it, apply it, and so forth. I simplify that, but that's one example. But in Germany, our median income is about the same. $62,000 median income across the entire United States. Now, the difference is Germany is 8 million people and United States is 340 million people. Germany is basically a robust Colorado or Wisconsin. But $62,000 in American dollars and United States, where right now we think real estate is out of control expensive, our median house in America is about $410,000. In Germany, it's over $450,000 because there's no land left. There's no ability to move and just build another neighborhood. And in fact, just like it's not feasible, it's feasible to buy a house in Los Angeles, but it's expensive. It's not feasible to buy a house in New York City. I've spent time there. My son is living there now. The most that you can ever buy is an apartment, which maybe they'll call it a condo. You're lucky if you can get a good one to rent. In Germany, that's the same thing. There's no such thing as home ownership in Munich or Hamburg or Frankfurt or Berlin, but I give that example. The next example for me is Kuwait. Kuwait, the median income in Kuwait is $31,000. Wait for it. The median house in Kuwait is $1.3 million American dollars. You know why? Because Kuwaitis and their tribes don't build jack. They gotta find Bedouins, Pakistanis, the workforce. There's no blue-collar class. I'm afraid I'm not going to get into it, but it's like Colorado. There's no plumber to be found, so he can get $150 an hour. And finally, Honduras. Hey, Honduras is the most affordable. You can buy a house in Honduras for $30,000. Uh-oh, there's no system. There's no banking. And most of all, not because they're not capable human, there's no capable citizenship. Where the median income for even blue-collar across the board in the United States is $62,000. In Honduras, the median income for a blue-collar worker in Honduras is $360. A year, $8 a day for a grown adult to do a whole day's work. You know why there are no lawnmowers in Honduras? Because it's cheaper to have a dude cut it with a sickle all day. You know why there's no engineers in Honduras? Because they don't build bridges. Missionaries do. They just drive through the water or they don't go to school during the flooding season. That's not bad. It's just reality. And the reality is there's no opportunity in Honduras to have professional, predatory, or incompetent. And it's a mix of somewhere halfway in between in Mexico. Then you can have the crazy examples like Iran, which I'm not even going to go into, or Cuba, which I'm not even going to go into. But I want to finish the last 2 minutes on this. You have the choice in mortgage, in real estate, in title, and everybody else involved to find a professional, a predator or a pretender, and possibly someone as incompetent. And what you want to do, and I tell people to do this, is interview two or three people at minimum, and the cream will rise to the top. At Churchill Mortgage, I have a specific system that I help a borrower go through. What are your goals? What are the tools and capability that you have to do it? And what's your timing? I finish with the same example that I started with. I'm helping a client that's getting pursued by another mortgage company, a call center, and never once have they asked a helper, like understand the mortgage process, or get comparables for her refinance appraisal, or talk to another insurance company to see if the service is as good at the new company as her existing company, because the comparative price was a 40% difference. That's just the holistic approach to helping people in the industry. So if I can help you or one of your loved ones, adult children, over 85% of us listening are homeowners. Do you want your adult children to go out into the jungle unprotected? I'm not a predator. If you just say, hey, you're talking about getting qualified for a house, why don't I have Jay Garvin's from The Jay Garvin Show call you, 719-330-1457. And that's how I can help you, and this is why I'm still on the microphone. To the rest of you, go grow and prosper. Tell someone you love how much they mean to you, because the housing industry is great, but you can't take it to heaven with you. So tell your loved ones how important they are for you today, how much they mean to you, because that's how much you mean to me, the radio listeners. Call me at 719-330-1457 if you have a comment, a story, or most importantly, a need with your purchase or refinance mortgage. With Churchill, you get to call me personally and work with me personally. You've been listening to The Jay Garvin Show. Have a blessed week.
KRDO News Radio does not confirm or deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff or management of KRDO News Radio.